Joy to greet you all in the precious name of our blessed Lord. Very happy to see you. And I was telling the folk in the Bible class this morning that I almost sent a message to say we'll have to cancel or postpone this visit because I've been having throat problems. But we thank the Lord for his goodness so far today, and I'm praying that I'll be able to give you what he has laid upon my heart for you. Sometimes when I'm at the microphone speaking to a congregation and the throat isn't just right, I have to restrain myself and pray that the microphone will pick up the slack, that everyone will be able to hear. Do you know the Word of God exhorts the servants of God to speak distinctly? You can check that out in Nehemiah chapter 8, I think it's in verse 8. The priests, when they were reading in the book of the law, they read distinctly and gave the sense of it. And so I want all of you to hear everything that I have to say in connection with the message that we'll be sharing with you tonight. And I'm looking forward to Tuesday night. Shall I tell you what is on my heart for Tuesday night? Yes, some of you would like to hear. What am I going to speak about on Tuesday night? On Tuesday night, I'm going to ask this question. Do we need the Pentecostal experience? And you'd be surprised at the answer that I'm going to give. I'll give you the answer tonight. I am not charismatic, mind you. But the answer is yes. Come on Tuesday night. And we'll be looking into the Word of God concerning some of the events that took place on the day of Pentecost. How do they relate to us today? Do we need the Pentecostal experience? Don't go away from the meeting now and brand me as a heretic. Now we're going to stick right to the book and see what the Lord has to say to us on the subject. And tonight, I do have a question to share with you. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 18. We won't read the whole chapter, but the whole chapter is very relative to what we will be sharing. We'll just pick out a few verses. Verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains orders concerning Absalom. Verse 28. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, who hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, the Cushite came. And the Cushite said, "Tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them who rose up against thee. And the king said unto the Cushite, Is the young man Absalom safe? And the Cushite answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all who rise against thee to do thee harm, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. The question on my heart is this. Is the young man Absalom safe? The question that David asked of Ahimaaz, he wasn't quite satisfied with the answer he received. He asked the same question of the Cushite. Is the young man Absalom safe? And I want to ask you tonight, are you safe? I'd like to ask you, is your husband safe? Or is your wife safe? What about your son or your daughter? Are they safe? What about your brother or your sister? Are these loved members of the family circle safe? About 7 or 8 years ago, 6 members of my family were riding in a car that was involved in an awful accident. 2 of my daughters, 3 of my grandsons, and a son-in-law. From the reports we received, the car was going at a terrific rate of speed. And when we arrived at the scene of the accident, I was amazed to see how wrecked that car was. The insurance company gave a total write-off. The undercarriage was torn off. The front and the back were bashed in. It had rolled over, and so the top was smashed. But you know, something impressed me about that car. The passenger compartment held up. Seemed to have been a sturdy little vehicle made over in France. And thank the Lord, none of the occupants were very seriously injured. Well, within a week or two, we had to go car shopping. And I remember talking to a salesman about the best type of vehicle to buy. And he says, you can't buy a better vehicle than a Volvo. Really? He says, yes, when the passengers get in a Volvo, you close the door, you put on your seat belts. He says, you're safe. Well, we didn't buy the Volvo. We got something else. But I've been wondering, is there any place where people can really be safe? Is there any place of safety? We are here to tell you that there is a place of safety. There is a place where boys and girls, men and women, can be secure. They can be safe from the storms of God's wrath, which are about to be unleashed upon this Christ-rejecting world. There is a place of safety. And that place of safety is a person, Jesus Christ, our Lord. David had a great concern in his heart for his son Absalom. And he knew that Absalom was a difficult lad. Absalom had given him a lot of concern. I believe David's heart was broken over the waywardness of this boy. And even though Absalom was not a model son, yet David loved him. Even though Absalom had lifted up his heel against his father, and in rebellion, and in an act of treason, he sought to overthrow his dad, dethrone his father, so that he could take the reins of government in his own hands. David loved him just the same. And David said to his captains, when you get out there into battle, make sure that none of you hurt that young man. Don't harm him now. He gave a strict charge to his captains not to hurt Absalom. And so when the battle was over and the messengers were returning to Jerusalem, David saw them coming. And the first question on his heart, his mind, is the young man Absalom safe? It's better. You've heard it said, it's better to be safe than sorry. Absalom was not safe. Let me read for you just one verse in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a parapet, a battlement, or a parapet for thy roof, a little wall along the edge of the roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from there. God is evidently very interested in our safety. And he gave instructions to his people that in the building of a new house, this parapet must be included in the plan. And I would like all of you gathered here this evening to take this verse seriously. God is interested in the safety of his people, and we likewise should be very interested in their safety, their physical well-being, their material well-being, and above all, their spiritual well-being. What are you doing to ensure your safety and the safety of those you love? Now, if home life is not in order, you can't be safe. Is the young man Absalom safe? Absalom could not really be safe because home life was in chaos. Tell you why I say that. Absalom was David's third son. He had a number of sons, possibly 15 or more sons. He was the son of Maacah, daughter of Talmai, king of Gersha in Syria. Now, David had a number of wives: Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, Abigail, formerly the wife of Nabal, Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, Haggith, Abital, Eglah, and Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. In addition to these wives, he had a number of concubines. In talking to a dear brother about the scripture that tells us of David's son Solomon, who had 1,000 women, he says, well, Solomon had 999 unnecessary problems. Well, David had some unnecessary problems too. And I've been wondering, how in the world did he handle a situation like this? All these various wives bearing children for him, having them in his harem. I don't think that it was conducive to a godly atmosphere. That's how Absalom grew up. David, boy, was God's man, anointed king, and was occupied with the affairs of the kingdom. I believe he was too busy with other duties to give the time, the attention to Absalom that he should have given. And so it is in today's economy. Many fathers are too busy to give time to their kids. And they wonder, when there is an emergency, when there is a crisis, is the young man safe? Is my daughter safe? Perhaps we have failed to build that parapet to ensure their safety. God told Moses to teach the children of Israel, the words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and I want you to teach them diligently unto your children. Talk of these words when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down in bed, when you rise up. I want you to have these words in your heart, and I want you to teach them to your children. Are you doing that, father? Are you doing that, mother? Are you? Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, was Absalom's mother. I believe she was an accomplished lady. I believe she was a beautiful lady, because her son was a very handsome guy. She was no doubt refined. As a member of the royal family coming from Syria, she was no doubt educated. She was intelligent. But we would say she was a heathen, and she was incompetent to give Absalom the training that he needed. So the house was divided. A godly father, an ungodly mother. And if the devil can get either parent on his side, he will neutralize the teaching of the godly parent. And we've seen that happening over and over again. So anytime we see young folk fall in love and planning to get married, we try to ensure that they don't forge an unequal yoke.
What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Believers and unbelievers don't get along very well together. And it's contrary to the mind of God that a Christian should marry an ungodly person. This was the situation in David's household. That's how Absalom grew up. And in that family circle, he had an older brother. I think he was the son of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. His name was Amnon. Amnon looked at Absalom's sister, was his half-sister. He fell in love with her. And he earnestly desired to have her as a lover. And through intrigue and deceit, he managed to get that girl in his chamber, raped that girl. When Absalom heard of it, he was furious. You know what Absalom did? It took him nearly 2 years, but he plotted the murder of Amnon. Oh, Amnon, you're going to pay for this crime. So there in Absalom's household, you see his environment, you see how he grew up, you see his family. Mother and father, godly and ungodly. Among his brothers and his own sister, we see incest, we see intrigue, we see lust, lasciviousness, revenge, adultery, murder. Is the young man Absalom safe? And I'd say if home life is not built on the principles of the holy word of God, the young man is not safe. The young woman is not safe. If friends are leading a young person astray, he can't be safe. Absalom had a lot of friends. I was noticing in 2 Samuel chapter 15, the word says it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses. As a young man, he had chariots and horses. And 50 men to run before him. These were his friends. And as they ran before him, I can almost hear them shouting, "The prince is coming. Get ready. Greet him. The king's son is coming down the highway. Chariots and horses." He had everything his heart could desire. No doubt he was a sport. As a member of the royal family, he could throw a party any time, calling his friends. He was reared in the midst of palatial splendor. His father, David, as a young man, he was a shepherd lad out there in the mountains tending the sheep. But Absalom, he lived deliciously. He had enormous wealth. He had servants to wait on him. I don't think he ever picked up a duster to dust the furniture, a broom to sweep the room. He never had to make his bed. He never had to polish his shoes. He never had to water the plants or plant a little garden. He didn't have to put out the trash. He never had to milk the cows. He never had to prepare a meal. He never had to wash the dishes. No, he lived deliciously. Enormous wealth, servants to wait on him. Poverty and toil helps to put iron in the blood. I think it's better than geritol. Some of our young people growing up here in Nassau today are not safe. Because everything is coming their way. Oh, what a lot they have. And maybe you've heard it said that if everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane. Is the young man Absalom safe? Pockets full of money. All the resources of his father's wealth are at his disposal. Is he safe? No. He's not safe. It's a hymn we sing sometimes. One verse says, shun evil companions. Bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Absalom didn't shun evil companions. He had all these companions, 50 men running before him. Their conversation was evidently not God glorifying and edifying. You know what the Apostle Paul says? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Good manners never correct evil communications. Who are your friends? A young man is not safe if his friends are leading him astray. Absalom was not safe because of his home life, because of his friends, because of the emphasis he placed on his personal appearance. Good-looking guy. You know what the Bible tells us about him? In all Israel, we read in chapter 14 and verse 25, in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. The guy didn't even have a wart, or a mole, or a scar. And he had beautiful hair, gorgeous locks. He had a haircut once per year. And when they cut his hair, put it in a scale, 200 shekels by the king's weight. You know how much hair that is? 8 pounds of hair. I have a dear one, dear friend, who has a beauty parlor, and when she buys 8 pounds of hair for weaving for customers. So what are you going to do with all that hair? She says, well, each customer takes approximately a quarter of a pound. So Absalom had enough on his head to service 32 people. It's a lot of hair, cutting it once a year, and people admired it. I can imagine David looking at his son with this long hair, says, boy, I'm going to get the scissors and give you a haircut. Come now, sit in this chair here. Let me give you a haircut. Gets a towel to put around his shoulders. Absalom says, no, Daddy, don't you like my hair? And then when David is getting his scissors ready and getting his razor and he wants to do a job there, Mommy comes along. Make up. She says, but honey, those locks are beautiful. How would you have the heart to cut them off? And Absalom says, Daddy, leave them alone. Placed a lot of importance on his appearance. His beauty. Everybody praised him. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. You know what Samuel was told when he was anointing, looking for the right man for anointing over Israel? The Lord seeth, not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks at the heart. You know, the New Testament has something to say about this. Absalom didn't know a thing about this, but the Apostle Paul, he says, even nature itself teaches you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. James. Should be cut. But Absalom, man, he enjoyed having this long hair. And the very thing that meant so much to him, the very thing for which he was admired and praised, caused his downfall. Is the young man Absalom safe? If home life is not right, he can't be safe. If his friends are leading him astray, he can't be safe. If he's placing all that emphasis on his outward appearance, he'll never be safe. And we're living in a day and an age when people spend billions and a lot of time to fix up the outward appearance, to dress well, and to look well. It's easier to look good than to be good. Absalom looked okay, but he was not okay. He looked beautiful, handsome guy. But in the sight of God, he was ugly. Because he was going in the wrong direction. You know what Absalom said? Oh, that I were made judge in the land. I'd like to sit where my father sits. I'd like to judge these people. And as they came to talk to his dad, he'd go out and meet them. And you know what he'd do with the men of Israel? As he saw them coming, he would go and hug them. He would kiss them. The king's son, he would kiss these guys who came with a problem to David. And say, oh, what's your problem? You tell me. And then deep down in his heart, he says, oh, I wish that I were king. And the devil planted the seed of envy in his heart, the seed of treason in his heart. And he determined, well, since my daddy won't step down from the throne, I'm going to take control. His direction was wrong. He had very unholy ambitions. He was not an honest young man. He approaches his father one day and he says, Dad, I have to go up to Hebron. I made a vow unto the Lord. I have to go pay my vow. Let me go take a few folk with me. And Dad, I must go and worship the Lord up there. Dad says, all right, you may go. But what was really in his heart? He wants to go and gather an army. He wants to fight against his father's soldiers. He wants to overthrow his dad from being ruler in Israel. He wants to sit upon the throne. He wasn't honest. So, when a man has a household that is in chaos, he can't be safe. When his friends are leading him astray, he can't be safe. When he is placing a lot of emphasis on the outward appearance, he can't be safe. When he's moving in the wrong direction, he can't be safe. And here is David, seeing the messengers arrive.
Is the young man Absalom safe?
When he got the message, his heart was broken. Broken-hearted father. David had a lot of sorrow, you know. When Saul and Jonathan died, David wept for them. David said concerning Jonathan, his love for me was wonderful, passing the love of woman. He wept when he heard of the death of his friend. When Amnon, his son, was slain in Absalom's plot, David mourned for him every day. He was sorry that Amnon met such a terrible death. When Bathsheba's son, and you know the story of Bathsheba, but when that little lad was ill, David went down in sackcloth and ashes. He would neither eat nor drink, and for 7 days here he is weeping and mourning and crying to God to save the life of this child. And now the death of Absalom. He hears that Absalom's hair is caught in the bough of an oak, and that as Absalom was suspended there, the story is given to us in chapter 18. Joab takes 3 darts, pierces them through the heart. The young men slew him. And when David hears of the downfall of Absalom, broken-hearted David wept. Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. Do we have any broken-hearted parents here tonight? Do we have any in our congregation tonight who can think of some member of your loved family who is not safe? Are you safe? The only place of safety is Jesus Christ. Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Thank God you can find a hiding place in Christ tonight. Sometimes when we go to funeral services, we sing this song. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. But you don't have to wait for a funeral. You don't have to wait until you die to be safe in the arms of Jesus. You can be safe in his arms right now. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you safe? I was preaching in the Miami Gospel Chapel about 2 or 3 Sundays ago. And immediately after the meeting, a woman came to me weeping. And she says, Brother Hart, pray for my sister. We grew up in a Christian home. But at the age of 17, she got involved with a boy. At the age of 18, she had an illegitimate child. The guy ran out on her. We thought he was going to marry her, but he ran out on her. And in order to get money to sustain the drug habit, she went into a life of crime and evil. And this dear lady says, pray for her. She says, my sister lives in the Bahamas. I don't think it's in this area. but she lives in the Bahamas. And she says, my heart is broken for my sister because we grew up together and I love her as my own soul. But the devil has her in his clutches. Maybe you can think of somebody like that. Maybe you have a son. Maybe you have a daughter. Maybe you have a brother or a sister. Some loved one who is in the clutches of the enemy. And tonight the question is that person safe? Any man or woman who is outside of Jesus Christ is in danger. Some folk may be in the church and they're not safe. Some folk may be at the communion table and they're not safe. You see, if I am to be safe, I must be inside the ark of refuge. And Jesus is God's ark. Jesus is God's provision. Jesus Christ our Lord went to Calvary. His body was broken. His blood was shed. That you and I might be saved. Have you come to Him? Have you put your trust in Him? Has your son come to Him? Has your daughter come to Him? David's broken-hearted cry was, is the young man Absalom safe? And then we see poor David climb the steps, returning to his house. What did he say? Oh, Absalom, my son. My son, Absalom. Would God I had died for thee. Absalom, my son. What a bitter cry. And our Lord was here. Says that there's going to be weeping, there's going to be gnashing of teeth, there are going to be a lot of broken hearts, because a lot of people are going to be shut out of the kingdom. Are you inside? Are you safe? Is your family safe? Whenever I have to leave home, I always give instructions to my wife and my daughter who lives at home. Make sure you lock up securely. Make sure you bolt the doors and fasten the windows and to ensure a measure of safety. And you know how comfortable one feels when they are safe. Well, let me tell you, the only real positive assurance that we have of eternal safety is when we are in Christ Jesus. We're going to close our meeting. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask you right now just to bow your heads and your hearts in the presence of the Lord. And we'd like to ask, are you safe? We'll ask you again, is your son safe? Is your daughter safe? What about your brother, your sister? Are they safe? What about your neighbor? Is he or is she safe? Have they come to know Christ as
Savior? If there's a need in your life for your own personal safety or the safety of your loved ones, we'd like to pray for you as we close our meeting. And we'd ask you, if there is such a need for personal safety or the safety of those near and dear to you, would you like to raise your hand for prayer? We'd be glad to pray for you right now, that you will find peace, security, and safety in Christ Jesus. What about your family? Are they safe? Would you like us to pray for them? Put up your hand to indicate that if you have a need. Thank you, I see your hand. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I see your hands. Anyone else? God bless you, I see your hand. Lord, as we bring this meeting to a close, we thank you for opening our eyes to see that there are loved ones who are not safe. Loved members of our families who are still outside the fold of thy grace. And unitedly we cry to you on behalf of those who have raised their hands for prayer, indicating that they have a personal need or there's a need in the family. O God, in thy mercy, meet that need, we pray. We thank you that the door of the ark of safety is still ajar. We thank you, blessed Lord, that your word still declares, whosoever will may come. May there be a response to the appeal of the gospel, to the invitation that thou dost extend, and we pray that even tonight some may come to the ark of refuge and be saved and safe for time and for eternity. May your blessing rest upon us as we separate. May we remember your word, may we meditate upon it, and may it be a source of perpetual inspiration and blessing to every heart. We ask these things, giving you thanks in the precious and worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, may God bless you all. Our meeting is over. We forego the singing of another hymn, but our service is over, and if there are any here who would like to remain for a word of prayer, I'd be very happy to stay and help you in any way I can. And during the course of this week, the will of the Lord, there will be opportunity, if you so desire, opportunity to sit and pray with you, read with you from the word, and be of any help I can to any of you gathered here. God bless you all.